Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. Sorry I'm a little bit behind the eight ball. We had a little bit of technical trouble calling in. Looks like the phone lines are jamming this morning. So, hey, you know what? I have had an awesome weekend. I hope you guys had a great Labor Day weekend. It was a time to celebrate those that actually serve us, not just the military, not just our firemen, our policemen, our school teachers, but the moms out there, the waitresses out there, the hairdressers. I mean, it's a time, truly, where we get to celebrate. But today we're in Marcus's book. This is on actually step two. If you remember last week, step one was removing the myths, you know, the focus point of why we have our weaknesses and should we focus on our weaknesses, which is about as asinine as the day is long. I don't know why they do that, except that a lot of times people focus on their weakness because they haven't been in the military, they haven't been in sports, they haven't done something where they've had to focus on the strengths. And today we're talking about getting clear, focusing in on that true strength. What is it that we have? You know, do you really know? This is the question that should permeate today. Do you really know what your strengths are? And I think that's the kicker here. Marcus writes this, and I thought this was good. Have you ever noticed that when you ask people to describe their weaknesses, they somehow manage to spin the description around so that the weakness sounds suspiciously like a strength? Well, my weakness is just that I care too much, or I'm too much of a perfectionist, or my standards are just too high for my own good. See, and this is, actually, those are really ambiguous type statements when you analyze it, but here's what Marcus writes. In fact, as I write this, I have a hard time remembering a single instance during an interview in which a person just came right out and said, you know what, I am weak in thinking strategically, or I struggle with implementing my plans once I've designed them. It must have happened, I suppose, but rarely. See, here's the kicker, folks. We have been taught since day one, focus on the strengths. Well, now it's time for you to focus on your weaknesses. Now it's time for you to focus on your strengths. Because if you start focusing on what you're really good at, you eliminate a lot of crap in your life. See, for some reason, I think that because we believe the myth of focusing on our weaknesses, we busy ourselves with activities that really don't have anything to do with our strengths, and it keeps us from growing. It keeps us from living the life that we desire. Marcus writes this, and I found this very good. I'm good at making things happen, but again, there's hardly ever an accomplishing description of exactly what kind of things a person's good at making. They just say, I'm good at making things. Well, that don't work. We know that doesn't work. You've got to be descriptive in what you do. You can't say, I'm good at helping people. I'm good at making things. I'm good at focusing. I'm good at following through on what? See, your strengths only focus on three things: your talents, your skills, and your knowledge. See, if you can't dive into, and that's what today is, dive into and make it clear on what it is. If you haven't read, Now Discover Your Strengths, then you don't understand all this. See, your talents, God-given talents, okay, now that's a belief of mine, but that's what it is. If you have those God-given talents, then you're going to be able to have a strength area where you're digging into and you're holding on to. You're going to have skills. Some of those skills seem to come naturally. Others have been developed based on your talents, based on what feels good. The rest is the knowledge. You've dug deep. You've gotten the knowledge, and you applied that. I call that wisdom. See, those are the things that you need. Now, we're going to use an acronym today, and this is what I love about Marcus. He really brings it in to just a down and dirty to where we can understand it. And if you've got a pen and paper, you're going to want to write it down. See, the acronym is the word SIGN, S-I-G-N. The S stands for success. The I stands for instinct. The G stands for growth. And the N stands for needs. Marcus, under the little subheading, S is for success, he says, if I were to ask you to describe your strengths, you would more than likely begin with those things at which you feel successful. And frankly, this is a sensible starting point. See, for an activity to be labeled a strength, you must obviously have some ability in it, and your success, measured or otherwise, is the best indicator of that ability. One of my strengths is as an analysis. I can go in and I can dig deep, and I can usually look at the numbers, I can look at the logical explanation, and I can find answers on things. That is a strength of mine. Empathy is a strength. I can understand where people are coming from. I don't sympathize with where they're at or playing the victim's role, but I can understand where they're at based on the life that I've led. That is just something that said there's, and there's many more, and we all have those. But that is what you've got to look at is what can I measure? What's the strength that I can measure most? I is for instinct. Marcus writes this, your strengths have an I can't help but quality to them. You can't quite articulate why, but you find yourself drawn to certain activities repeatedly. Even though you may just be a little scared to do them or you're a little nervous, maybe you don't feel like you're good enough, maybe you'll fail, but nevertheless, you continue to strive to get them done. See, and I think we all have that. See, it's a basic instinct. You know, when I was out bounty hunting, when I was actually looking for people, there was a fear factor involved. It wasn't hard to find them. But the adrenaline rush once you got there, the adrenaline rush of knowing you have no idea what's going to happen next. You know what? That's the same feeling I get when I'm talking to a new CEO, when I'm talking to a prospect, when I was building my organization, when I'm meeting new friends. It's that same thing. I love meeting people because you never know where the relationship is going to lead. It's exciting to me when I can go in and help somebody new, when a new challenge comes my way, when somebody says, I want you to analyze our company and I want you to be honest with us on what you think. Okay, I can do that. See, what a lot of people don't realize is I love analyzing these companies, going back to the founders, the CEOs and stuff, and saying, hey, I found this one little glitch, and I don't know if you guys thought about it. See, when you do that before a company launches or right as they launch, and you see one little thing that can be tweaked out that can make them go from good to great, it's awesome. I even get more stoked when I go to a company and say, you know what, things are looking great on this thing. I mean, you guys have done your homework. This is the fun part. We do the same thing with distributors. But it's fun when you can serve others this way. That's just an instinct that God gave us. You know, a third one is growth. G is for growth. Marcus writes this. By now you know that the biological underpinnings of your strengths are the presence of thick branches of synapses connection. You also know that because of nature's habits of piggybacking on existing infrastructure, you will grow the most new connections, those are those brainwave things, in those areas where you already have the most existing ones. Here you will learn the most, come up with the most new ideas, and have the best insights. See, if you start to focus on your weaknesses, then you're going to die. I honestly believe, and I'm not a scientist, and you guys all know this, I've got no medical degree, but when I look at certain diseases, Alzheimer's disease, I believe that part of this is generational because people stopped using their strengths. They started focusing on their weaknesses, and in generation past, part of this stems from that. Now, there's a lot of other stuff in the medical field, but I believe that part of our mental makeup, mental disease, and this is important to me because my mom had a nervous breakdown. And at that time, she focused 100% on her weaknesses, 100% on the negative in her life. She did not focus on any of the positive. So I think I have something that I could stand on that. See, if we will focus on our strength areas, that's going to help us grow. I remember a few months ago when I was deciding what I wanted to do in a structure in my business development. You know, I reached out to a few good friends of mine and said, here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to do it. And you know what? It's so interesting because when you're with friends, they'll tell you the good and the bad. And I remember one of them, BK Brick. I just love his straightforwardness. I sent him over my idea. I said, this is a rough draft. He looked over it. He saw the comparison that I was making to a very successful company that's out there. And he said, dude, of all people, you could pull this off. But you cannot pull it off by MLM help desk. You're going to have to come up with something better than that. You've got to set yourself apart. He took the time not just to give me the praise and say, dude, you can do this, but he also showed me a weakness and showed me what I needed to do to overcome that. The same thing that I do with other companies. See, it's awesome when you surround yourself with this type of people. I had somebody over the weekend said, Troy, will you please, please, please join my company? And I said, no, I can't join your company. You know, and then they got all in a snit. At the same time, I received an email from a very successful CEO. Owns a multi-million dollar business, private business. He's been in the faith-based niche for years, providing technology and media and website development and all this. I did a little review on his company. Praised him from a distance because I've never met him personally. I've just met people around him. I've talked to some of his sales reps. I've dealt with their company. I mean, it's been awesome to see these guys walk their walk for 13 years, and now they've entered into a new division. They entered into the direct selling industry. And he praised me. Now, here's what he said. This is the difference between these two, and this is where you play to your strengths. He said, Troy, thank you. Those were his first words. Troy, thank you for the wonderful review you did on our company. If I can ever repay you or serve you, please give me a call. This is where a guy is playing to his strengths. The other ones just wanted to try to, hey, if you'll join my company, I think I can make a lot of money. See, this is what you have to do. Always, you've got to look at the instinct. You've got to see where your strengths are. The end is for needs. This is what Marcus writes. The final sign of a strength is the end in sign. It stands for needs. Whereas the instinct sign refers to how you feel before you do the activity, the growth sign to your feelings during the activity. See, are you growing? Are you focused? Now, here's the kicker here, and this is what I want you all to understand. There's a lot of times when people think they're playing to their strengths, and really they're playing to a hobby. See, a hobby is something that you thoroughly enjoy doing. You feel relaxed doing it. You feel, most of the time, you truly feel refreshed when you do it. But no matter how good you are, no matter how long you've done it, you just don't get better. It seems like you enjoy doing it, but your end result always looks the same. It never looks better. It could be in relationships. It could be in anything. See, don't be playing to your hobbies. Play to your strengths. That's the kicker that you must understand. You've got to dig deep and look at that. Now, there's sometimes you may look at something and say, well, Troy, that's a hobby. I enjoy doing it. But as you analyze it, you realize, wow, and I've gotten better and better at it over the years. Now it's a strength. It's not a hobby. See, some people enter into relationships as a hobby. But very quickly they start to learn, you know what, this really isn't a hobby. It's a strength. I love building relationships. See, your strengths are those activities that truly make you strong. They build. They give you an appetite. Tom Hopp, my good friend, has an interesting concept. He has the three R's. He says resentment, resistance, and revenge. Marcus has the three C's, capture, clarify, and confirm. And when I looked at this, I thought, man, this is pretty cool here, because if you can capture, clarify, and confirm, then all of a sudden you'll know what your strengths are. See, when you're capturing your strengths, you're starting to say, okay, what is it? And you write down statements. You start focusing on getting it right. One of the things that you can do, and I strongly suggest this. Now, if you bought the book, you know you've got some little cards in the back, but at least carry a little notebook, little journal with you. And you make memos. Every activity that you're doing during the week, you want to capture your feeling at that moment. This is where we're at. Make sure you're writing this stuff down, or at least go back and and listen to the archives on this, not because Troy's doing the training, but because you're going to get some insight here, especially if you haven't bought the book. See, you want to capture your emotional feelings during the event. Are you feeling powerful? Are you feeling confident? Does it feel like the activity that you're doing is smooth, it's natural? Do you get on fire? Do you feel wired? Do you feel great? Do you feel like you're doing something that is really part of you? It's part of the authentic DNA that you have. Or, at the end of this activity, do you feel drained? Do you feel the time went by slowly? Do you feel like you can't concentrate? Do you feel stressed, wiped out, frustrated? See, these are the things you got to do. You want to capture that. You want to look at your thoughts. Are you thinking, man, I can't wait to get started. Man, this is fun. This is my calling. This rocks. See, you want to capture those emotional thought processes if you're going to find your strengths and really be able to dig deep to understand what they are. Then you want to clarify them. Now, this is the fun part. This is where you got to start asking yourself questions. The first question you want to ask yourself is, does it matter why I do this activity? That's very important right there. Does it matter why I do this activity? Second thing you want to look at is, does it matter who I do this activity with, to, or for? This is very good when you're focusing in on relationships with your significant other or your top team leaders. The third question is, does it matter when I am doing this activity? Another big one. There are some activities you should do early in the morning. You know, I go walking on the beach, riding my bike, working out mostly in the morning times, and then I do my cardio in the afternoons. Everybody's different. You've got to find out, does it matter when I do the activity? And the fourth question is, does it matter what this activity is about? See, these are, if you ask the right questions, you get the right answers. See, if you ask yourself, does it matter why I'm doing this activity? And the answer is no, I could be doing this interview as part of a book research project. I don't have to do it right now. I can do it later. Then all of a sudden, you realize, see, some of the stuff I do, I'll sit here and I'll ask myself the question, does it really matter if I interview the CEO or not based on the evidence that I've seen about a company? See, these are questions that you have to ask. Here's one that'll really get you. Does it really matter if I make that person like me or not? Does it really matter what that person thinks about me? Those are questions that you have to ask. You know, one of the funny things that I did, and this is a big day in my life because Sons of Anarchy third season starts today, and you that hang with me know that I'm being halfway facetious there, but here's one of the things that I've always done. I have the first two seasons of that show, so I get to watch the actual documentary, the making of the show. I get to listen to the actors and actresses behind the scenes. When you do that, it's like taking off a cover and listening to the real people, not the persona that they play in the show. And you start to see their vulnerabilities. You start to see where their weaknesses are. And then when you watch the show, you see that they do not play to their weaknesses. They play to their strengths. The director, who is looking at it from a third-party view, kind of like a mentor out here in the real world, is able to make sure they play to their strengths. See, this is the power behind this. See, when you're able to capture your thoughts, or not your thoughts, but capture your strengths, capture what's there. You know, when you start moving in and you start to clarify and you start asking the right questions, then it moves right into where you're able to confirm. Marcus writes this: before you launch into exactly how to do your strength, how are you supposed to break these out? How are you supposed to use them? Before you go out there and start to try to explain to your colleagues why you should be doing what you're doing, because that doesn't go over sometimes when you're playing outside your strengths, one of the things you have to do is confirm inside yourself, yes, this really is the strength that I want. And you start writing statements down. The reason this is a strength is because, and you write your strength statement. See, when you write your strength statement, it might sound something like this: I feel strong when I present, but only to a large group of people on a subject I know a lot about, when I'm completely prepared and when I know my presentation will further a mission. Or it might be, I feel strong when I'm shooting a video that will help save an unknowing distributor from walking into a situation blindly. See, when you write down your clarity statements, your clarity statement, it helps you to confirm your strength. It helps you to move forward. Now, I want you to know something. Your strength statements will change as you grow in a strength. All of a sudden, maybe you're just not feeling strong into a large group of people, but you're able to feel strong one-on-one. See, sometimes it's easier for people to talk in a group than it is one-on-one. And the reason that is because they feel shy. They're intimidated. They don't want to do that. See, this is some powerful stuff, guys. Not because I'm saying it, but because Marcus, who went through 2 million people to be able to put this together, is saying it. See, being able to understand our strengths, being able to put our strengths to work for us, frees us up to do some things that most people never get to accomplish. And that's fulfill some of the objectives in our life. See, too many times I hear people use the word resolution. I hear them use the word goals. Sadly, they don't follow through with them. And do you realize that this is a subliminal message that you give to yourself, actually? Because when you have failed over and over and over at reaching a resolution, when you have failed over and over and over at accomplishing a goal, then all of a sudden inside, your brain starts to tell you there's no reason to even try. Let me give you a little story that happened over the weekend. As you know, we've got our grandbaby. In a week from now, we go for our final hearing. But one of the things that we've had is I've got my little four-wheel drive truck, and Paige has got a little minivan. And all of a sudden, we realized we're out of seats. We need to do something here. And she said, well, honey, I don't want to drive some big 15, passenger van around. Hard enough to drive, let alone the economy. I said, well, that's true. And she went on the Internet. She found a 12-passenger van. Not only was it a 12-passenger van, it's a Ford, which I'm a Ford freak. She said, but honey, we can't write a check for this, and we don't like loans on our cars. So we sat here, we went to bed, we got up the next morning. I said, hey, I got an idea. She goes, what's that? I said, well, we got the camper out here. We're not using the camper. It's wintertime, we're getting ready to be the fall, the winter months up in Missouri. Why don't you call your mom and dad and see if they'll swap? See if they'll go and buy the van and swap out for the camper. That way your dad can take the camper, do some little fix-up that he wants to do on it, and sell it, because people will buy it up there more than they'll buy it down here. She can say, I could try that. Let me see what dad thinks. She calls her dad on the phone. He said, well, shoot, I'd love to get that camper up here and do a little work on it. I think we can probably get out of it what this van's going to cost. And in less than 24 hours, she's got a new van being delivered. That's not brand new. It's 2 years old. But it's exactly what she needed. She figured out a way, because one of her strengths is being able to strategize. That's why she writes books. And very quickly, the two of us, because when we put our strengths together, we eliminate the weakness, was able to boom, boom, boom. She ends up with the van that she needs. We get rid of a camper that's set here for 2 years that we've never used. And it's going to bless somebody else's life who's probably looking for a good camper, not brand new, but not been used. It's a win-win. Folks, when you play to your strengths and not your weaknesses, I go back to what BK had told me. Had I sat around and said, well, what do I know about all this? How can I do all this? I don't have an education like all these people. Why would they listen to me? Had I done that instead of reaching out, then I'd be sitting here today not having a plan, not putting together my strategy, not working it out, not finding clients. I'd be sitting here whining. And see, it's not one of my strengths. I might be weak in some areas. Whining is not one of them. And as I was studying today for this, as I was focusing on where it should lead, I read a story that I thought was very good, because I think it actually goes into what we're talking about here. The name of this story was The Legacy of Given. Actually, in northern terms, that would be giving and not given. But it's The Legacy of Giving. The Rockefeller family has made sharing their wealth a generation-to-generation commitment. Deborah Huzo wrote this in Success Magazine. As I was reading this, here's the man that was the brainchild behind Standard Oil, later broken apart into three or four different companies. Now we know it as British Petroleum America. And he did it in the most inopportune times. Do you realize that this family had accumulated $900 million in net worth, and this was back in the 20s, so whatever that equates out, billions and billions of dollars today. Did you know they own most of the land that we now know as the Smoky Mountain National Forest? Did you know that they own the mountain range that we now know as Grand Teton National Park? See, they gave away. He believed that the more you gave away, serving others, the more money that you would make. One of his favorite quotes, "The time will come when men of wealth will more generally be willing to use it for the good of others." I don't know if that's true yet, but I do see more and more people giving today. One of his other quotes was, "The only question with wealth is what to do with it." Now, the cool thing about this is, if you remember what I just said, generation to generation, when John D. Rockefeller passed away and his son was in charge, it was during the Depression. Actually, it was later than that, but during the Depression, his son had taken over the company and it was their foundation. And here's what he did. He said, you know what? We need to put people to work. So they started building what we know as the Rockefeller Center in New York. They donated the land for the UN. Don't know if that's a good thing, but they donated it. But when they were building this, it was the Depression. They put 75,000 people to work. He started Baptist University with an endowment. It's now known as the University of Chicago. I look at that and I think, wow. His great-grandson said this, "Being a millionaire is a tough row to hoe." That was by Winthrop Rockefeller. I thought, wow, and that was the son of John D. Jr. John D. Jr. writes this, "My mother and father raised but one question. Is it right? Is it duty? I took responsibility early, and like my parents, I was serious about it." He also said, "I was trained from the beginning to work, to save, and to give." See, folks, you've got to focus on your strengths. And once you've got your strengths down, then you've got to make sure that you're out there giving them to others, that you're out there mentoring. We're going to be talking about this before the end of the week in an upcoming chapter. But you need to take time today to capture your strengths, clarify your strengths, confirm your strengths. See, when you do that, the sky's the limit on where you would go. You will watch your business. You will watch your personal life. You will watch your health grow. You will watch those around you say, wow, he's changed. She's living differently. Although that will be a true statement, what they'll see is that you're living to your strengths. That's the key. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow, Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.